I do an Ask Hank column in the Christian Research Journal, and the current edition of the journal, I deal with the issue of how the eternal Son of God can at once be the firstborn over all creation and yet the eternal creator of all things, which is a question that is being exploded by cults like the Jehovah's Witnesses to say that Jesus Christ isn't really the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. In fact, God created Jesus, and then Jesus becomes a junior partner in creating all other things. The way I deal with this dilemma is I point out that in referring to Christ as the firstborn, Paul has in mind preeminence. And this usage is firmly established in the Old Testament, which is to say that I always need to be tethered to the pillar and post of Scripture. I need to read Scripture in light of Scripture. For example, Ephraim in the Old Testament is referred to as the Lord's firstborn, even though Manasseh was born first. In similar fashion, David is appointed the Lord's firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. And this is despite the fact that he's the youngest of Jesse's sons. Well, neither Ephraim nor David was the first one born in the family, but they were firstborn in the sense of preeminence or prime position. So again, this gets to the issue of scaling the language barrier. It's not the word you use, but the meaning that is poured into the word. And the biblical meaning poured into the word firstborn doesn't mean the first one born, but the preeminent one or the one who holds the prime position. And not only so, but Paul refers to Jesus as the firstborn over all creation, not the firstborn in creation. And as such, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The force of this language by the Apostle Paul is such that the cult of the Jehovah's Witnesses, who subscribe to the ancient Arian heresy that the Son is not preexistent and co-eternal with the Father, have been forced to insert the word other. In fact, in Colossians chapter 1, they insert this word other four times in the text of their deeply flawed New World Translation of the Bible in order that they can demote Jesus Christ to the status of being a mere created being. And a final point is this, is the panoply of Scripture makes absolutely plain Jesus is the eternal creator who spoke and the countless galaxies leapt into existence. Now, for example, in John 1, he's overtly called God. In Hebrews 1, he's said to be the one who laid the foundations of the earth. In the very last chapter of the Bible, Christ refers to himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Indeed, the whole of Scripture precludes the possibility that Christ could be anything other than the preexistent sovereign of the universe. Again, an answer to a question that is brought up by the Jehovah's Witness on your doorstep. How do you deal with it? Well, if you have the answer, you can deal with it with gentleness and with respect and point out that they're misinterpreting the language of Scripture. So again, in this and many other circumstances, we have to learn first and foremost how to scale the language barrier. The Jehovah's Witnesses say they believe in Jesus. The Mormons say they believe in Jesus. But which Jesus? What is the meaning that they pour into the word?